It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. And this week, again, when everything's going well, I don't get a call from my family members at all about markets, but I know that things have to be getting pretty rough out there and pretty rough in markets, or at least understand that people are feeling it getting rough and starting to get really nervous and get scared, is when I get a call from my mom. And then it's really, really getting nerve-wracking. I get a call from my brother. And this week, I had both. A call from mom and my brother, Brandon, both saying, hey, I want to invest more in this market, but it's starting to get actually too gut-wrenching or too painful to do so. And it's exactly the sentiment that I would expect during a sell-off like we've seen. Again, this particular sell-off or this week's worst week we have seen in 10 years. So far, it's the second worst December of all time. The only worst December we've seen is 1931. So arguably, or understandably, I guess is the right word, I understand that investors get nervous. Nobody likes this. I don't love these sell-offs. I do look at them because I've been through so many of them. I do look at them as opportunities, but I'm not blind to the fact that it's just hard to live through for a lot of investors. So the question, I guess, that my mom asked and my brother said, well, when does this really turn around? Or when do markets turn around? And this is where I look towards 2019. And I don't know when these items that I'm about to list, when they manifest or when they happen, but I do think is once if and when they do, that's when we start to see a market really get optimistic again and potentially turn around. So again, when will this market come down? One, I think there's three things. One, once the Fed really looks like they're slowing their pace of raising interest rates. So it looks like they're, quote, done raising rates. And they say, hey, we're at neutral. We're at a rate that's not hurting the economy. We're at a rate that is not goosing or accelerating the economy. Here we are. A, markets will say, okay, we no longer have to worry about higher interest rates. And B, can maybe say to themselves, and this is markets talking to themselves, investors saying, well, if things do go bad economically, the Fed can then lower rates, which again is getting on a stimulus or a stimulative path towards the economy. Two, we find some sort of resolution with China. Who knows when that happens? Could never happen in 2019. Again, I think because of the third year of the presidential cycle, I think Donald Trump probably wants to get reelected. His biggest lever to do that is a good economy, and a good economy almost requires China, some sort of deal with China. Also, at some point, if oil prices stay as low as they are now, under $50 a barrel, somebody's going to wake up and say, wait a minute, this is economically stimulative. This is good for the economy. As every $10 a barrel lower on oil, we see almost a quarter of a percentage point jump for gross domestic product. So this difficult week headed into the holidays, I think can bottom out or resolve itself early next year. And then if we get some resolution in these items, we could see a much better second half of 2019. I also wrote a book a couple of years ago called You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. And I still believe that the title of that book is so relevant to what's happening in America still to this day. The big Wall Street firms will still lead you to believe that you will never be able to really do that unless you save every single penny for the rest of your life. And then maybe you'll just have enough. And you need millions of dollars in order to do this and be able to retire. Susie Orman was just out not long ago saying minimum you need is $10 million. Minimum. I mean, if that's the case, then most people are just going to lay down their shovels and stop working. Because who's going to get there? Not a lot of Americans. Not even the 0.1%ers. So we've got to get a more realistic view on being able to get economic freedom and not having to work anymore. Being in a position to stop working. The number one gripe I get, first of all, people get tired after 30 years of doing the same job. And they get tired of Atlanta traffic. And that is not to be understated. That is a real issue. You're going an hour and 10 minutes each way from Alpharetta to Woodstock. That hurts and it takes its toll. And you want to have a period of time where you can say, that's enough. I'm done. I want to be able to walk away. And a lot of Wall Street will tell you that you can't do that. And then we go through these periods of time where see the stock market down 15% in the matter of a couple of months. And it makes it feel like, well, I don't know if I can retire. What if I retire and the next we go through another 07, 08? What if we go through a 2000, 2001? Can I even afford to do that, even if I do hit my goal? And the answer I will tell you is yes, you can retire sooner than you think. There are a couple of really important financial checkpoints you have to get to. They're not impossible to get to at all. They're not easy. They don't just fall in your lap. But every American can get there. The subtitle of that book is The Five Money Secrets of the 18 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. And that is a big part of, well, really the five money secrets of the happiest retirees, but there's 18 of them in the book. And it's a study on what it takes or what are the habits of the happy group, happy retirees versus the unhappy group. And oh, by the way, the happy group gets to retirement sooner than most in America. So those are the people that we want to follow, that we want to be like, that we want to learn from. And that's what You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think is all about. We're going to the phones here again. The number 404-872-0750. David joins us from Auburn. David, what's up? How can we help?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm a truck driver, and I've just been thinking about this. I contribute to both an IRA, a Roth IRA, and a 401k. And with the markets doing what they're doing, I'm just wondering, not pulling it out, but should I stop my contributions until all this fiasco is done and over with the stock market and then start it up again? Or should I just keep going the way I'm going and just keep adding to it?
A couple of thoughts here. So I would tell you, my initial thought is to drive through. Ryan and I joke about it. Remember seeing Days of Thunder? Remember seeing that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Robert Duvall, right? He's coaching Cole. He's coaching Cole around the track, right? And there's a crash ahead. And what does he say to Cole? He says, drive through, Cole. He says, drive right through. And I'm here telling you, Cole, to drive through, David, because it's okay on the other side. It's okay once you get through that smoke. And we think about that all the time because that's what it's like as an investor. You just do not know what is happening on the other side. And then you hear folks like me that say, oh, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Well, let me tell you why it's going to be fine. You are sitting there, you're putting your hard-earned money in. And by the way, next year, the IRA contributions go up. You can put more in your 401k than you ever have. The limits now in 2019 are going to be, you put 19 grand in your 401k starting next year. If you're over, if you're 50 or older, you can put an extra six, so it's 25,000 away. And in a Roth IRA, a regular IRA, you can put in $6,000. If you're 50 or older, you put an extra 1,000, so it's $7,000 a year. And when markets are doing what they're doing right now, you want to do the opposite of not putting money in, which is absolutely continuing to contribute, because this is where you get the best bang for your buck, really. So when markets take these 15, 20% dips, which hurt, right? They hurt, especially if you've been saving a long time. But when markets are lower, this is actually the time to be putting more in because you get to buy more shares. And then when things do recover, and that's really the belief that we have to have, David. And that's why I've been a student of the economy for so long. That's what I studied at school at UNC in North Carolina. And I still look at the economy every single day of my life because I like it and I like understanding it. And it's this puzzle that constantly is moving. You're trying to continue to figure out. But really for the foreseeable future, we have a really actually pretty strong economy still ahead. Less strong than last year. So less strong than 12, well, it's still 2018, but probably a little bit less robust than 2018. the tax cuts really helped this past year. They're going to help a little bit less next year, but they're still going to help. And then we still have a lot of uncertainty. So I think we're going to slow down. And I think that this market, nobody, of course, you know that I don't know when this thing ends. But historically, these corrections that we have, David, that are not associated with a terrible economy, and I don't think we have a terrible economy, we end up with, I think we end up with, well, typically, I can tell you, historically, you end up with 15 to 20% pullbacks. And right now, by the way, we're already at the 15% mark. So sure, could we go to 20, 20, 22? Sure. But I look at this for you, David, and every investor, and I think the younger you are, the more this is applicable. You want to be putting as much money as you can, as much money as possible now when things correct. This is the time to really invest in your retirement because it's cheap. So Clark Howard would jump up and down and say, hey, it's on sale, right? This is the market blue light special that everybody should be buying. But a lot of the time it works the opposite way because your brain says danger and you run the other way. In investing, it's kind of counterintuitive. You want to run towards this and be buying today as opposed to selling and getting out. So I really believe that. And I think I always have had this conviction that no matter how bad the economy gets and how dark things are here in America for a small period of time, they always get better. And we always come out of it and the economy responds because there's too many of guys like you and me and there's too many of all of us out there that we're working hard every single day to just kind of move the ball forward inch by inch by inch every single day. And ultimately, that adds up to the most powerful economy in the world. And it's going to continue to stay that way. In 20 and 30 years, it'll still be that way.
Well, my main concern about it was I'm doing the same thing and I agree. My brain says the same exact thing you're telling me, which is great. But what I'm worried about is back in 2008, that hurt big time.
Exactly. And that's if I thought we were going through 2008, I wouldn't say drive through, right? I would say, look, hey, this is going to get really ugly and we got to get really, really protective. I just don't think we're there. There's too many good signs. Could the economy slow down next year? Sure. Do we go into a massive, massive recession and an almost depression like we did in 07? At this point, not even close. So
it's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here as we continue with the show. Today we're talking about, because we've been in this world of hurt financially, economically, and we've got some great calls that are holding. We're going to get into the bottom of the half hour. In the meantime, we had so hang on and we'll get to those and answer your questions at 404-872-0750. But in the meantime, we spoke with Dave, who called us from Atlanta. I told him to drive through, meaning that, hey, we'll get better eventually. Listen, we lived through 2007, which is a total debacle. And here we stand, markets rallied 300%, more than that. And 2007 was really bad, truly bad. The whole economic system was almost in complete collapse. But here's what is so important to start to at least learn or maybe remember, take away from today's show, is that when you're an investor, you've got to remember that participation in markets as an investor over and over again, so participation is much more important than perfection, meaning that you don't have to get it perfect. You don't have to get it perfectly right. And you can still or should still make money over time. And there's an article that I've done. Again, I'm going to put it right up on the website. So if you missed some of this, you can just go right and look at it. And it has to do with this concept of, what if I took $10,000 and looked back 25 years and 17 years and 15 years and shorter periods of time, the last 8 or 5 years, And I did so in a manner where I put the money to work at the perfectly worst time, like right before the market took a big dip and went into a correction or a bear market. Or I was smart enough to know exactly when to nail the bottom and buy in with my $10,000 at the perfect time versus, so those are two scenarios, versus just sitting in cash. And I'm going to give you the results when we return. So it's actually a fascinating study that I've seen that I've talked about on Money Matters a couple of times. And I think it really helps frame how you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it perfectly right. And you can still make money over time, even when you do it almost perfectly wrong, how that ends up. So stay tuned.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Welcome to Money Matters. This is Wes Moss, your host here, certified financial planner and host of Money Matters now for almost a decade. Thank you so much for tuning in. So we're here a bunch doing things and trying to help navigate a pretty complicated world. Sometimes it gets scary. Even though it's holiday cheer season, we're in the middle of a stock market correction, which kind of goes against a blissful time in the holidays and kind of a rougher year. We haven't had a year like this really since the financial crisis. This year is nowhere even close to as bad, nowhere near as bad as what we saw in 07, 08, early 09. But you immediately start to think back, oh, this is market, stock market is down now 15% from its high, only down about 6% for the year. But you still think, hey, could this be as bad as then? I'm here to say absolutely not, until a lot of other things change for the worse. And we just don't see that happening at this point. We keep very close tabs on the economy and we talk about it a lot on Money Matters on Sunday morning. So if you're newer to our show or haven't heard us, we keep tabs on that. We're a live call-in show Sunday mornings. If you miss it on Sundays, there's a podcast, Wes Moss Money Matters, where we post the show. You could find that obviously on Spotify or the podcast app on iTunes. We had in answering a caller question, and I think this is an important topic just to understand. And we'll go to the phones, and as soon as I'm through this, some market history here that I think is important, just to maybe walk away with tonight's history and market lesson that can really be helpful in the future as we go through these inevitable tough times. But once we go through that, I want to go to the phone. So the number here again, 404-872-0750 here in the studio, 404-872-0750. And what I mean by you don't need to get it perfectly right, you just need to play the game. You need to participate in markets. You need to participate as an investor. And if you do that over a long period of time, participation way outweighs perfection. First of all, nobody can get perfection. You don't know exactly when markets bottom and exactly when they top. Nobody knows that. But you can participate. And those of us or those of you or the folks that participate over a long period of time, that's how you build wealth in America. Or one of the very few ways to really build wealth in America is through being a patient investor over time. Sure, real estate's an answer, being an entrepreneur is an answer. This is not the only answer, but it is one way to, if you read Thomas Stanley's Millionaire Next Door, and there's a brand new version of that book now out just the last couple of months. Millionaires in America, they're investors. Most of them own stock. Most of them have participated in stock for a long time. Here's what I mean by you don't have to get it perfect. This is a study going back from various periods of time. You take 10 grand, you take $10,000, you have terrible timing, you have perfect timing, relative to not investing it at all, which ones win? Well, here are some of those numbers. So this is just real numbers looking at the S&P 500. If I started investing back in 1990, and of course I had this long 25-year period, and this data goes up till 2016, and the numbers would actually be even more favored towards stocks if you carried through 2017 and or even 2017 and 18, but this stopped in 20. The study here is from the starting point, in this case, 1990, all the way to 2016. So we started in 1990. That year, there was a four-month bear market, meaning, you know, 20% type correction. If you timed it perfectly and you waited to invest your 10 grand right at the very bottom of that correction, and then you're off to the races from there, and you waited all the way to the end of 2016, you had 25 years of investing, your perfect timing money grew from $10,000 all the way to $113,000. If you did the opposite, meaning that you had the worst timing, so you put the money to work, your $10,000 right before the correction, and then it immediately cratered, today or at the end of that period of time, it would still be worth $100,000. So perfect timing got you $113,000. Terrible timing got you $100,000. So you still made a ton of money in both scenarios. If you never invested it to begin with, and you just sat the money in cash and got basically CD rates over that whole period of time, your $10,000 would have grown to $20,000. So it would have doubled over 25 years relative to 10x for both bad timing and perfect timing. How about over, let's call it the intermediate run. Let's look at 17 years. If you invested in 1998, there was a 20% correction. Perfect timing yielded your $10,000 turned into $29,000, so it almost tripled. The worst possible timing, still the $10,000 still turned into $25,000, 2.5x. Cash only grew to $14,000. So again, another example where it didn't matter if you got it perfectly right. In fact, if you got it perfectly wrong, but you just participated over that whole period of time, you made a lot of money. Similar scenario if you look over the intermediate term in over a 15-year period of time. And this is even more dramatic. What if I do this right before it gets really bad, like the tech crash? Well, that was the year 2000. Let's say your $10,000 was perfect timing and you put the money to work right at the very bottom of the tech crash. Your $10,000 until 2016 tripled. So it went from $10,000 all the way to $30,000. If you put the money to work right before the tech crash, and this is in the S&P 500, not the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the money still grew to $18,000. You still almost doubled your money with the worst possible timing you could have had. Cash, on the other hand, if you didn't participate, you just left money on the sidelines, cash, money market, CDs, 13. So you went from 10 to 13. So here, this example, even the worst possible timing still beat cash by over 40%. Now, there's probably some heartache in there, right? It was emotionally a lot more difficult, but you still won at least financially over the period of time. In the short run, if we looked at an 8-year period of time, investing in 2008, again, another terrible period of time for markets during the Great Recession, the financial crisis, that's still very fresh in our memories, by the way. If you had perfect timing and bought the very bottom of that market, the $10,000 by today or at the end of 16, let's say, had almost tripled. So $10,000 turned into $29,000. Worst possible timing, the $10,000 still grew to $16,000. Cash perfectly flat because we had zero interest rates during that period of time. So investing at the worst possible time, going back for over an 8-year period, the worst possible timing still beat cash by over 50%, 50%. I'll give you one more example here. So this is a short period of time. It's only 5 years. It's 2011. That period of time, there was about a 20% correction there as well. Perfect timing, your $10,000 grew to $18,000. The worst possible timing grew to $16,500. Cash practically flat. In fact, during that period of time, you earned $13 in interest over that 5-year period. Still, worst timing beat cash by 66%. So the reason I bring all this up here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the holidays, first of all, we're talking about markets that are really difficult right now for you. And you're always wondering, do I get in? Do I get out? Do I wait? Well, the answer here is that if you look back over time, what matters is that you're in the game. You can't hop in and out of the game and expect to ever make any money. That we know historically does not work. If you understand this history, it helps reinforce this mantra that participation is the key, not perfection. In every single scenario that I just went through, investing at the worst time still bested cash by a long shot. So that's there we have it. The best answer to the question of what do I do right now? Do I get in? Do I get out? If that's been nagging you, just remember that the participation and discipline is, or the discipline, let's say, to do so and participate, that's a practical strategy that anybody can employ. Anybody can employ, and it's a lot easier to make it work than timing markets perfectly. That's just too tough to do. So we've got to look at this in obviously a longer term horizon, and that kind of makes people cringe. Like, oh, long run, Wes, I'm going to be dead. I don't know, not necessarily. You've got to look at, well, yes, even if that's the case, which of course it is, you still may be and need your money for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we've got to be able to buckle in for that long haul in order to make money over time. I said we'd go to, I think we have time for one more call. Longoria, one more call? One more? Okay. Robert joins us from Lawrenceville. Robert.
Hey, my lucky night that I get you on the phone. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Okay. I'm trying to get a roadmap for the future. I am just a few months shy of 72. My wife is 67. We're both retired. We both have Social Security coming in. We own several pieces of real estate, residential real estate, that is netting probably about $6,000 a month after expenses. We've got probably...
Plus your Social Security, probably another $3,000 or $4,000 a month?
About $3,200 a month, I believe.
Got it. Okay, so now we're... You know, so put those two together, and we're at $9,000 or over a month.
Yes, yes. And then I've got about 180 in a Sallie Mae that is doing nicely. I think I'm getting about 2.9% on that. But we've got about $250,000 total in our SEP IRA and our Roth IRAs. And only a small portion of that is in bonds. The vast majority of it is in equities. And at this stage of the game, at my age, at our age, is that the best place for us to have the majority of our money? I met recently, just in the last few days, with a financial advisor, and I sat down, and the first thing I said, don't talk to me about annuities.
Don't sell me annuities. Yeah, thank you.
and before it was over, he told me about how terrible the index annuities are, and then he told me how wonderful the fixed rate annuities were. So I left, and I was not happy with the advice that I felt like I was getting. So I knew that I could turn to you, and I'm just so lucky that I got you on the phone tonight. Thank you.
Wonderful. So the good news is the bad news is we've got to go to a quick break, but when we come back, sure, I've got the whole time to answer your question. So hang on, Robert. Wonderful.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Talking to Robert Lawrenceville, I have a question for you, Robert.
Just, yes, sir.
You're 71, you said.
Yes.
You know, I always think about, this is an impossible question, but do you think you live another 15 years? And I'll tell you why in a second.
I'm determined.
There you go. And when you ask somebody at 65 or 70 or 75 or 85 or 90, you think you're going to live 15 years or longer. My point is that we all have longer horizons than we might give ourselves credit for. We think, oh, I'm retired. My time horizon as an investor is now zero. It's not zero. It is 20, 30, 40 years. If you retired 55, you could have a half century. And I have a rule of thumb called the 15-50 stock rule, 15/50 stock rule. It means that if you have a horizon of 15 years or more, which you do, Robert, the answer is you should have a minimum of 50% in equities or stocks.
Okay.
So 85 sounds maybe a little high, But then I think to what's the next generation? So who does the money go to? Does it go to your kids? And I'm going to, if it goes to the next generation, let's say your kids are in their 50s, they've got a half century. So now all of a sudden that timer is and looks like a really long one, which would lead me to say that I'm okay with 70, 80% in stocks if I'm looking out that far into the future. The 1550 stock rule is actually something I wrote about that'll be in the AJC this Sunday in the business section in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this Sunday. If you want to find out some of the articles we talked about, go to wesmoss.com. The very first article on the homepage, revisiting the article, Investment Success is More About Participation Than Perfection. And the 1550 stock rule article is there as well. So it's Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com. And with that, thank you for listening. If you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week, you can go to WesMoss.com. And much of what we talk about through the show, you'll find articles about on the website as well. You can find all of that at WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Also, subscribe to the podcast. You can listen at iTunes or Spotify. I just found out that we can also find the podcast on Spotify as well. So if you'd like to find us, there's lots of ways to do that. Thank you so much for tuning in.